Buckle up. It's the Insurance Dudes Podcast.
Boom!
This is amazing. This is amazing.
Your intros never disappoint. There is not a podcast out there that has better intros than you guys.
Thank you, Vlad.
Not Vlad, your teacher.
That's right.
I've been served 10,000 ads from Vlad, yet I managed to mispronounce his name when he first came on beforehand.
In every video, I start, "Hey, this is Vlad from the Insurance Sales Lab." So,
way to
Vlad's
go, Craig.
In the lab.
He's got old timers. Not all timers.
Old timers.
Oh, old timers. Yeah.
Old timers. Old timers. Well, welcome to the Insurance Dudes, Vlad. You're on the hot seat in the Vlad sandwich here between Jason and I. If you're watching on YouTube, then you'll see that. If you're listening, then you can just visualize.
You guys changed your platform for the podcast. It used to look like a Zoom setup. Now you guys use something super fancy.
It's a secret.
It was Zoom. Now it's Ecamm. And we might switch again.
Like typical agents switch. We're going to switch to the next shiniest object because we're agents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So welcome, Vlad, to the Insurance Dudes. Let's jump into Speed Breakers, get this thing going. Are you ready?
Speed Breaker. Just answer these questions as fast as you can.
And
that's it. A little fun game.
You can't stop me because I'm the gingerbread man. Are you ready? Vlad?
I'm ready.
Question one, have you ever had a mullet?
Never.
Oh. First crush?
The girl I ended up marrying.
Oh, good job. Well played. Most embarrassing thing your mom ever caught you doing? Be honest.
I don't really have embarrassing moments. Yeah, I really don't have embarrassing. I have things that I regret, like hitting my brother because I grew up with six brothers. Ooh. I've done some embarrassing stuff with them, but yeah, nothing.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a pass. Yeah. Fastest speed ever driven?
Probably 150. Ish.
We're going to hand this to the authorities. Favorite cereal?
Video game or real life? you got to go with Lucky Charms.
Oh, that's two for two today. How many kids?
Yeah.
I have two kids.
Have
two
you made cry? One. Please wait till the end of the question. Have you made cry?
I've made both of them cry.
Good job. Count Chocula or Count Dracula?
I don't even know the difference.
Fastest mile?
Mm-hmm. No idea.
Favorite flavor?
I add caramel into everything.
They're even tacos. Dogs or cats?
Dogs all day.
All day. That's what everybody says. Yeah. Tacos or burritos?
Tacos. But every place I go to, I do a quesadilla. That's like my go-to. If they have a quesadilla, I do a quesadilla.
Maybe we should change it to tacos, burritos, or quesadilla.
Yeah.
Quesadilla.
You got to add it to the mix.
Quesadilla. And the last and final question is Trump or Biden? You actually don't have to answer that one. That one's a little trickier to. All right, hand it over.
I got a question for both of you guys. Is he running in 2024? Yes or no?
Yes.
I don't even know if 2024 is going to happen. I haven't seen it on the schedule yet.
That's true.
It's on a couple credit cards that I have.
We got to add favorite video game.
Ooh, I will do that now.
Vlad, what's your favorite video game?
The only video game I've ever played was NBA Live when I was like in seventh grade. And it wasn't even a video game. It was a computer game because I'm into basketball. I was playing basketball. My dad walks in the room. He says, "What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this." Takes the game away. I've never played since. And I don't regret it. I've never played video games. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. But that's funny that your dad did that and then you never played it again.
Yeah. I used to work at Best Buy and I had some shifts where I had to work in the gaming section. Everybody knew everything about gaming. People would come in and I didn't know anything. People would ask about game recommendations. I didn't know about how consoles work, the difference between all of them. No one could believe it because I was like 18, 19 and never played a game.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Vlad, so what was pure. The first concert you ever went to?
The only concert I've ever been to was one that my girlfriend invited me to. We went to this, I think it was a Hillsong concert. That was like 6 years, 7 years ago. It was a bunch of people from our church that went, came to our town. And I think that was the only concert I've ever been to. I'm weird. Not into video games. Don't watch a lot of movies. Don't watch TV shows. Don't play. Like, I listen to music, but don't go to concerts. This right here is my life. This is what I do. If I find time to read, that's what I do.
Love it. Love it. Oh, man. I love Hillsong. Did they play Oceans?
They did. Yeah.
Ah, so good. All right. So take us back. They did what?
They've changed quite a bit since I've went to their concert. Like they're a different band now. Yeah. I'm not into them much anymore.
Gotcha. Well, dude, let's go all the way back to NBA Live to now. What got you in insurance? And tell us the story of how you help agents crush it.
Yeah. So the short version is I was a Best Buy from the time I was 16. I got a job there. I was the youngest employee there. And my goal was to always be number one in sales. There was this tracker at Best Buy. A lot of people don't know this, but I think Best Buy is still this way, but they track metrics it also depends on the store that you work for, but on a daily basis and by departments, computer department, the video game departments, home theater departments. And it was always important for me to be number one. And we had a budget that was set for us by the corporate. And I just always wanted to hit that target. So I went out of my way, read every book I could find, studied everything I could on sales and the technology that we were selling. So that was just always in my DNA to be the best in terms of sales. And I got promoted when I was 19 to be a supervisor in one of the worst performing stores in the entire country. And the reason they put me to be a supervisor to supervise like 20 employees in the computer department was because they wanted me to teach those 20 reps my sales process, because I was like number one in a big territory. So they just said, look, if we can duplicate Vlad's sales process and have everybody hit the same numbers that I was writing at the time, then we should turn the store around. Long story short, we did that after like 2 years, and all the credit went to the GM and the leadership. I remember getting corporate visits from the way top, because our store went from being one of the worst performing stores to one of the best performing stores in all of Best Buy. And I was like, dang, the little guy, like at the bottom, never gets any credit. And it wasn't like even that got me a little irritated. I was like, man, I'm working so hard, but I'm getting paid like 19 bucks an hour, 20 bucks an hour. I want to make a lot more money. And I was looking at different opportunities. I was considering banking, real estate, and insurance was one of the industries that I looked into. So I was recruited by a big captive company that we all know of. And they said, hey, be an agent. And I looked into their comp plan, everything checked out. But I went and started talking to insurance agents that were already agents in that company. And all of them said the same exact thing. They said, Vlad, you can be great at sales, but finding good people to work for you is the biggest challenge. And most agents go into major debt their first year because they're figuring things out. They're hiring the wrong people. They're not using the right lead vendors. You're just getting set up. So you're going to go into major debt your first year. Second year, you're going to break even because of the renewals. And then the third year is where you can make some profit. And I thought, geez, 3 years to start making a profit? That seems like a long way from now. And I decided to become a team member first. So I was working in an agent's office. And my goal from the very beginning was to come up with a sales process as a producer where I could write 100 policies per month. And I just figured that if I could do 1.5 households a day-ish, then I should be able to hit that goal. And we're in a very low premium state, so premium was not even a target for me. I just wanted the apps, the policies. And long story short, the only lead source that I had available to me was the old leads that we had in our database. So if we had an incoming call, I couldn't answer that call. If a new internet lead came in, which we had a lot of, I couldn't contact those leads. If I did and I closed the sale, I wouldn't get paid commission. So the only commissionable sales for me were people that I brought in from the age leads. Or if I did like some, what are you guys doing with your mics?
Oh, just leaning in.
Move my mic. Continue. Yeah, anyways, I came up with a sales process. It wasn't written down. It was just in my head where I could call an old lead and close the sale in one call. And I wrote 100 policies in my 6 month as a producer. And throughout that 6 month duration, is that my dog or yours, Jason? I'm just kidding.
That's probably Craig's dog or his rabbit.
Who let the dogs out? Who? Who?
Good call, Mr. Craig. Good one. Well, tell us a little bit about that. How did you start developing that sales process? I know you're trying to hit this goal of 100 plus policies a month, right? or items a month, right?
Policies, was it all, whatever.
Yeah, policies. It was apps, so
policies,
apps, and so how did you? I mean, that seems daunting at first. So I know you're doing it in bite-sized chunks, doing 1.5 a day, but like, tell us how you started developing the process from kind of from step one.
Yeah. The hardest part for me, the first barrier I needed to mentally overcome was that A, people don't answer the phone, or at least at the rate that I thought people would. It was just right. difficult to get people on the phone. And once I accepted that fact after a few days, I said, okay, if I want an answer, I better make 10 calls. So I stopped feeling sorry for myself and I decided, okay, 10 calls equals one answer. When I get that answer, what do I do with it? And I would just say, hey, Jason, this is Vlad calling you from ABC Insurance. We gave you a quote a while back. Yeah. Do you have, and I would be so nervous on the phone too. It was ridiculous. I would say, hey, we gave you a quote a while back. Do you have a few minutes for me to re-quote your car insurance? And people would say,
no.
Yeah. I'm not interested or I'm too busy. The normal response. So I was thinking about how do I get people to get past that initial barrier of just saying yes. And I remember there was a time for like 2 months, I left my Best Buy job to go door knocking and I would sell, I worked for Comcast where go door knocking and sell cable and internet services. And the guy who I shadowed was the number one sales guy, door-to-door sales guy. And what he did, which was interesting, was when he knocked on someone's door, they opened, he would always ask them questions that would get the person to say yes, yes, yes. So 3 yeses in a row. And that just prevented, first and foremost, the door being slammed on you. And then he, for the most part, had this stuff, like people invited him into their house. And that was just crazy to me. So I just followed his process. And I was pretty successful as well when I was doing that job. And it was funny to me that nobody else was following that strategy, even though he shared it with everybody, nobody else was following it. So I just remembered that moment where when I knocked on someone's door, I would ask questions that would lead to a yes. So I thought, how could I do that in my sales calls? So I would start confirming information that I knew was true about the prospect. They would say yes, yes, yes. And I got past the first 20 seconds. And then it, over time, it became more and more clear on what I would say. But the point is that people started saying, yes, give me a quote. I would start getting more opportunities to quote people. And that was like the biggest win, is more opportunities to quote prospects. Then the next big challenge was, okay, you quote someone and they would say, yeah, all that looks great, sounds great, but send me an email, I'll get back to you.
Right.
And that was the next big challenge. How do I overcome that? How do I get people who are at the finish line, but for whatever reason, are just one step away from saying yes? So I tried a lot of different things and finally figured out a way where I could get people to give me their payments information the first call. So now I have a way to quote people. I have a lot of people saying yes, and I'm closing sales in the first call. And the next big challenge was, if I'm more expensive, like what do I do then? They're paying $150 for their insurance. I'm coming back at $170 for their auto renters. How do I get them to pay $20 more? Well, I can't say we're going to cover you better when it comes to claims. We'll answer the phone 24/7 because everybody says that. You don't call a 1-800 number. You call a local number. You always talk to the same people. Like everybody says that. So I had, like, I'm keeping this super short, but I had a few epiphanies, moments where I tried a few things. Basically, it was all through trial and error. Where I would try something, it worked. I would repeat it over and over again. If it didn't work over a few tries, then I would stop doing it. So I got a way where I could quote people, close them in the first call, and even if we were more expensive, and that was like the birth of the script for me. And then other things happened where I added a few elements to it. Where when it came to like multi-lining, if I was doing an auto renters bundle, easy. Close deal every time, bundle. But when it came to homeowners, getting someone to quote their home and their auto in the first call and switch over in the first call, that was a little complex. So once I figured that out, then that's when I went from doing 40, 50 policies a month to 100 on my 6th month. And then it went up, up and up. And then on my 9th month, I did 152. And I just continued to stay at 150 or higher. But the big thing for me that I haven't shared yet is that for me, it was important to get incoming calls. So with every person that I wrote, I executed the most simple referral program that you could ever imagine, but I was consistent with it. And I followed up with the people who I wrote a few days after I wrote them. And then 7 days later, asked for a referral, gave them a $10 gift card. In fact, I fronted the $10 gift card to guilt trip them into sending me a referral. And then eventually I started getting 1 call a week, 2 calls a week, 3 calls a week. Then it was 1 a day, 2 a day, 3 a day. And then when it got to like my ninth month, that's when I started getting 4 or 5 calls a day. And now I have incoming calls and I have a great sales process. Put those together, 150 policies a month.
Blows up.
And that, yeah, that was that holy grail. And I felt like, dang, I'm onto something. And now it's time to like see what I can do more than that. And then agents started sending their staff members to our agency and saying, hey, Vlad, I'll pay you $200 if I can have my team members sit there for a couple hours and watch you sell. I'm like, sure, I'll do it. And they would come back to their agency after recording the sales conversation. They would implement the same sales process and it would work for them as well. So that's when I started doing workshops in our area and then traveling to other parts of the country. And before I knew it, I was at a full-time business traveling the country, training agents over a 2-day workshop on my sales and referral process. So, and then after doing that for a while, I converted the workshop business to an online course. So now the online course is what I used to teach in live workshops. So yeah, that's what you see my ads on right now is the one called Close Masterclass.
Cool. I love that, man. So let's go back to the initial getting someone to just even talk to you. I think door-to-door sales is the pinnacle of sales. Like if you can get good at door-to-door sales, you can sell anything anywhere, anytime.
100%.
And then, you know, and then the next step up would be phone sales, especially when it comes to insurance. And then online sales makes it easy. But let's go back to that door-to-door. What was it the dude that you were shadowing was doing? What were those 3 questions that he was asking? And you said for phones? For phone service,
it was
right?
Comcast. Yeah, Comcast. So it's been about 8 years, so I don't recall all the questions. But what he would do is when we had a yellow vest to look more official, a badge, and then he would have a clipboard. And somehow we had the homeowners' names written down for the addresses that we were knocking. And he would basically see who they have for their cable provider. Is it DirecTV? Is it Dish? Like, who do they have? And then when he would knock on their door, he would usually give their name and then say, looks like you have whatever the competitor is for your cable. And then do you also use them for internet or whatever that follow-up question is? So usually name, who they have for the service provider, and then another 3rd question. And that would just get people to say yes, yes, yes. And it didn't seem like a cold call or like a cold knock at that point because people felt like, okay, this person knows a little bit about me, even though it's obvious. It's on your roof. You can see what they have. So that's what he did.
That's so cool. Preparation's everything, man. I think that when it comes to sales, I think a lot of us, we just go for it, right? And we don't really put a lot of thought into it. And I think that preparing, whether it be practicing, preparing, getting those scripts, all of the above, right? All the above is the preparation that it takes to really refine sales. So what was it really past that? So you would get that. So the first step was leading the yeses to get the quote, right? The next process that you said that you started really refining was those one call closes. What were some of the tactics and strategies that you would use for that step?
Yeah. So I wouldn't reveal the price in the beginning of the call. So if say I had, even if I had a quote already prepared, I would save that price until I've given them a home and auto quotes. And then at the very end, when I'm giving them a quote, I would say, Jason, like if I knew it was $200 a month for your auto and renters together, instead of just saying, all right, Jason, it's $200 a month for your insurance. What do you think? If I tell you that,
I'll think about it.
Which, yeah, you'll think about it.
Yeah.
Or what most people would do is they email say, do you want me to email it to you? I can do that.
Yeah. and buy.
But instead, right. What I would do is first give them a higher price, like before the discounts. So imagine if I didn't multi-line the vehicles, didn't do the multi-line, multi-car discount. If the good driving discount wasn't applied, whatever other discounts, how much more would their policy be? Probably another $100 or so. I know some carriers give you the price before the discounts, others don't. So if I know it's $200 a month for your insurance, auto renters, instead of saying, all right, Jason, $200 a month for your auto renters, I say, all right, so Jason, after finalizing your discounts, your price came back to be surprisingly really low. Before all the discounts were applied, your price looks like was around $300. I don't give them the exact price. I just say around $300 per month. But because you don't have any accidents, no tickets, bundling your home and auto or renters and auto, your price came back to be only, and the keyword is only $200 a month, which is actually a really good price for the coverage that you're getting. So there are 2 ways you can get this started. And that's the key, where I give you the price and I go straight into giving you the two options on how to get started. So there's two ways you can get this started. The first option is you can make your first month's payment today and your coverage begins immediately while we're still on the phone. And I can help you with the cancellation process with Geico, so you don't have to worry about that. I'm removing that as an obstacle. And then I know another obstacle people mentally have is like, what about my ID cards? What if I get pulled over? I just say, well, and I'll also email you the ID cards. You can print them and the physical copy will come in the mail. So that's the first option. The second option is we can wait till your regular payment day. Do you normally pay on the first of every month? And I look at their X date. If you pay on the first, or if your X date says on the first of the month, then you probably paid around that time. So I'd say, Jason, you pay around the first. Is that right? Yes. Okay. So we can wait till the first of, and then I give them the first of the next month and we can start your coverage then. What do you prefer to do? Or what would you prefer to do? Start now or wait till the first of next month? Now it's not an option of, do you want to start with me, but when? So most people, I want people to say, I'll start on my regular payment day, because cash flow wise, it's easier for them. They know mentally my auto bill comes out on this day every month. I'll just keep it simple for them. I'm removing that as a barrier or an obstacle. So if they say, yep, I want to start on the first, then I just change the effective date from today to that day. And then different carriers do this differently. So you would basically set up their policy to start on the same day that they typically make their payments. So for some carriers make it easy. Others have discounts where if you quote them 7 days before, or if they start 7 days later, there's a few discounts available. So the exact script that I just shared will vary from carrier to carrier. But the point is this, you want to give them two options on how to get started. And then I don't like to ask for their odometer reading until I have the payment information. I don't ask for the lien holder information until I have their payments information. I don't ask for anything that doesn't change the price until they have committed with their payments information. Because you know, if you ask someone for their odometer reading, they're going to say, when my husband comes home or when my wife comes home, right, I'll get that information and I'll call you. And then you never hear from them. Yep. So instead, what I'd rather do is get their payment information, get that commitment, and then I'll send them a message of what I need from them. I need this, 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 and that from you. And then they can send me that information. So that's the asking for the sale part in my six-step script. That's step five right now. And then usually just that one time is not quite enough to get the sale to close, especially if you're calling an old lead. It's natural for people to just be hesitant and say, let me think about it, or let me talk it over with my spouse, or they'll always give you a objection. So if you don't stop at that objection, but you overcome that objection, usually that second or third ask is when you'll close a sale. And I think that's the part that a lot of people miss out on, is they can go perfectly through the script. They'll ask for the sale exactly as they're supposed to, and then they just don't overcome that first objection that comes up. But if you do that, then you'll close a lot more business, because if that person is totally fine with switching over to you, the prospect that you're talking to, they just need a push. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's the fifth step of the script, is asking for the sale. That's how I got people to switch over in the first call. And I should say, the other thing to keep in mind is, if your value proposition is price, if you're saying we're saving you money on your insurance, and that's the main thing that you're leading with, I just haven't found that to work really well. Maybe it's because where I'm from, we weren't really competitive on rates. So I had to sell on value. I had to separate myself from the competition. So when people were switching over, they were paying either the same amount or more with me. So it's important that a lot of people won't switch over if it's $10, $20 more per month, mm-hmm. especially like your premier clients who $10, $20 is not going to make a huge impact on their budget. They'll just say, look, I'll keep my home, my three rentals, and my four cars with my company right now. I'm not going to switch over for a $15 a month discount. So you have to bring more to the table than just a better price. And I think that's where the second step of the script becomes so key, is you have to separate yourself from the competition. So it's not just, you got to be slick with the way that you ask for the sale, or you got to be slick with how you overcome objections. What you do way before that in the call will influence if the person's going to move forward with you in the first call or not.
Love it. That's
so
awesome,
many great
man.
Things in there.
Yep.
Vlad, you just dropped knowledge bombs.
Have you watched my webinar? Have either one of you watched my free webinar?
I have not, and I've not been cookied by you. And now I'm terrified of being cookied by you. But I'm going to, obviously.
Whatever you do, do not search for insurancesaleslab.com. Because once you do that,
you're on forever, on the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is, it's amazing, this business. We've talked about it a million times, and Jason and I are both really, really big proponents of having a script, because if you don't have some script or some framework for your salespeople, then there's really no way to gauge effectiveness, right? In this business, it's so strange how you can make so many calls, do so many quotes, because you have to do volume in order to make any money. Yet just it's flying blind and random how to do it, and living or dying on that price. And if anything, distributing or selling insurance that way, all it does is set you up for low retention and mediocre results. You have to coach and train and train and train and train and become robots almost at what to say in every situation. And it's all muscle memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting to me. It's kind of like this. You would never have a football team. Here I go with sports analogies. Yeah.
And he doesn't know anything about sports.
Dude, I was just going to do that, say the same thing, but go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, you'd never have a football team and you don't run any plays. Hey, you guys go out there, just try to get the ball down the field every day.
Just have some fun.
Just do your best.
Just have some fun. Yeah. Do you mean foosball? Foosball?
Foosball. Yeah. Foosball, Mr. Craig. Yeah, but it's crazy to me. I mean, I don't know why anybody would do that. And I think that we're lucky to be in an industry where it is real relationship-based, and you can have good relationships with people where they'll send you clients, and you don't feel the need to have that script sometimes, you know what I mean? But I mean, look at the last year. As we're going into different scenarios where we don't have the same foot traffic, I mean, the world's been turned upside down. We got to have some sort of script. We got to have some sort of plan that we can get better, create predictable results, and crush it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's huge, man.
Yeah, I believe we live in the greatest time in human history. Like, there's more people who are writing like 100,000 in premium.
To be continued.
Hey, Jason.
Yes, Mr. Craig.
That was another awesome episode, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if people want to get a little bit more action and learn how to do write 100,000 in premium off of even the worst internet leads, where could they go?
They can go to live.teledudes.com.
Ooh, that sounds exciting. Are we going to be there?
Yes. It's a weekly call that we're doing right now. It's live, and it will show you the process, the entire process. Super awesome.
I love it. Let's do it.
Sign up right now, live.teledudes.com.
Live.teledudes.com. That's live.teledudes.com.
Hey, Craig, there's a new community that we are starting that I cannot wait to tell everybody about. It is our live texting community, where you and I are going to answer people's questions and give them free content, right?
Are you kidding me? We get to talk to them?
Yeah, which is awesome, but they have to opt in. They have to text us at 520-214-2219. That's 520-214-2219.
Nice. Craig,
are you going to respond to these texts?
I'm going to respond to them for sure, live.
I'm into it too. It's going to be awesome. And it's going to be our new texting community, where we're going to get back to everybody that we can and drop some crazy content, free content, and free the calculator that you just came up with. That's right. The calling calculator. Sales material. I mean, everything for insurance agents. This is it. It's the best texting community out there for insurance agents.
Well, what the heck is that number again? I can't remember it.
It's 520-214-2219. That's 520-214-2219.
I love it. I'm going to text it right now.
520-214-2219.
All right. I'll see you later, Mr. Jason.
Bye, Mr. Craig.
Hey, do they even listen to this on the radio anymore?
I love it. I love it.
Nice.
All right.